Now I see great. Hallelujah, I stand in the red. I'm scared of an empty bed. And the storm that you rolled away. You now was bright for me, you saw sun. You now let the night land, you're someone. Just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Grace Point Church. Glad to see y'all all here this morning. I've looked around and I've seen a couple of friends I know that I haven't seen in a long time, so it's good to see y'all too. Welcome to the church. And now is the time we talk to each other, turn to each other and have a greeting. So let's greet each other. Like I said, it's good to see everybody, and I'm glad to be in church today. I had vacation with my family last week on a cruise ship, and I was cooped up in a room with the bunch of them. And you don't know your family until you live with them in a little cabin for a week. Today's verse is very appropriate to me, Draw. So turn your attention to and seek God, the Eternal One, while it is still possible. Call on Him while He is nearby. I need some God in my life today after last week, so I'm glad to be here. So let's pray and get the music going. Father, thank you that we can be here today and worship you and follow you and try to live near to you and trust in you in all the things that we do. Thank you that you're always nearby, no matter what, in the good times and the bad times. Thank you, Lord, that maybe we could let the busyness in our life remind us that we need you. Maybe we can let the burdens in our life remind us that we need you. Maybe the good times in our life can remind us that we need you. So thank you, Lord, for being there for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Continuing in our series of the Sermon on the Mount, particularly the Beatitudes, and just a quick reminder of us of what they are, and we'll be looking at one of those today. I want to say, Terry, where's my friend? There you go. I just wonder what your family thought about you in the room. That's all. We might have to have somebody else come give the testimony on that one. You ever gone to your fridge? You're hungry. You open the door and you just stand there looking, trying to see what's around back. Because you're hungry. You want something to eat. And if it doesn't work there, this is how it goes in my house with me. So I go to the fridge first, open up the refrigerator side, looking, pulling the drawers out, nothing. Although there's tons of food there. Close it. My freezer's right here. Open there. Can't find anything. Then I'm going to the pantry. It's just 6 steps away from the fridge. Open up the pantry door. Can't find anything there. Moving things around. I'm like, man, I sure am hungry. And then I do it all again. Like the fridge birthed more food while I was gone. And you just go round and round. When you're hungry, you do stuff like that. We're in this series, again, called Maintaining Happiness in Your Life. If you have your outlines, take the bulletin out. Or if your bulletin, take the outline out. You can follow along as we go. Maintaining Happiness in Your Life, the Beatitudes. Today we're going to be talking about part 4, the fourth Beatitude. Why you need to stay hungry. Why you need to stay hungry. Jesus says that having spiritual hunger is a good thing. In fact, he says it's one of the keys to maintaining happiness in life. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. This is the Beatitude we're going to look at today. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For they will be filled. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus says, you're going to be filled. And that word there where it says you are hungry, it literally means to starve. You're starving for the things of God. And hunger and thirst here in this context is something that's continual. It's something that goes on and on in your life. You've had hunger pangs, right? Maybe have some right now. I hope not, because we got good food in the back. But maybe you missed it. And right now, your stomach's getting ready to start growling a little bit. Someone described their hunger pangs like this: my stomach starts to growl, and I feel like I'm going to digest myself if I don't get food. That's some hunger pangs right there. But it's a daily pattern we go through because our body needs food. And in the same way, in the same context, spiritually, the Bible tells us that we need spiritual food, that we need to be hungry for, starving for God's righteousness and His presence in our life. And it's a day-by-day thing. It's a day-by-day thing. I don't know what kind of food you like. I like most. I like steak. I think I tell you this all the time. I like a nice, big, thick, very well marbled ribeye steak. And with my steak, I want baked potato, obviously. And you know how they bring out butter and sour cream with your baked potato? I always tell the waiter, bring more, bring extra. And they come, and I have to send them back. Not enough. And you eat, and you enjoy that meal, and it's so good, and you lay back in your easy chair, and life is good. But anywhere between 6 or 8, 10 hours later, what happens? You got to start all over again, right? That's just how we are made. And the Bible says it's like that to hunger after God, to have a desire for God in your life. And once He's there, to have the relationship with Him. It can go to the mountaintop. Maybe it comes down. And then you go again. I once looked up in a theological dictionary what it meant to hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is righteousness? What does that mean? Well, after I looked it up in the Bible dictionary, I decided just to give you a couple of words. It was like 27 pages. So let me tell you what it means. A relationship with God means being right with God. Righteousness is a relationship, and it's a relationship where you are being right with God. You can fill in the outline there. You can fill in that blank. It's a relationship being right with God. Righteousness is first and simply means to be right with God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, the good news shows how God makes people right with Himself. That's good news, folks. We don't make ourselves right with God. He makes us right with Himself. And that's good news, because a lot of times we fail. That's why the gospel literally means good news. It tells us how God makes us right with Him. And then righteousness is, next, a lifestyle. It means living as God intends. Living as God intends, being right with God, and then living as God intends for us to live. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29 says this: all who practice righteousness are God's true children. So it's a position and it's a practice. It's something God has done and it's something that we live out. That's what righteousness is. So I want to focus today on, how do we stay hungry? How do we stay spiritually hungry and thirsty? How do we keep a passion for God? Let me talk about five different things. Number one, remind yourself how much God loves you. You want to have a passion for God that's consistent and ongoing? Then you need to remind yourself how much God loves you. And you need to do it every day. And you get up in the morning and you say, Lord, help me to remember how much you love me today. Because the more you understand how much God loves you, the more you're going to love Him. I was talking to a guy one time and he said, I don't really feel close to God. And the problem, Pastor, is I don't feel like I want to be close to God. He said, I guess my problem is I just don't love Jesus enough. And I said, well, I think that's probably not your problem. Your problem is you don't understand how much He loves you. If you really had an understanding of how much God loves you, you wouldn't have a problem loving Him back. He loved you so much that He gave you His only Son so our sins could be forgiven. When Jesus died on the cross, when He literally bled blood, It was so our sins could be forgiven. And when you sit and you contemplate and you meditate and you just realize all over again how much God loves you, your response is going to be that you love God as well. Look what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. He said, pray that you have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. How wide, how long, how deep. Several hundred miles off the coast of Guam is the Mariana Trench. It's the deepest part in all of the oceans that we know. On January 23rd, 1960, Jacques Picard and Donald Walsh climbed into a submersible vessel, and they were lowered down into the cold, lonely darkness, all the way down, 7 miles to the Mariana. 7 miles down is what airplanes fly up. That's how far they went. The depth of the ocean, it's just mind-boggling. Way down that far in the ocean, the pressure is 15,931 pounds per square inch. That means for any square inch, it's like putting almost 16,000 pounds on that. It would squash you like a bug. It'd be over. Yet they realized for themselves how deep and how wide that ocean really was. Paul said, it's hard-pressed to describe God's love, but Paul prayed that his readers would be able somehow to grasp the width, the depth, the height of God's love. The reason we can never reach the depths of God's love is that His love is infinite and we're finite. His love is beyond measure and we can't conceive of what that is. Folks, if you've ever felt alone and unloved, if you've ever sunk to the depths of dark despair, you just need to remember that God's love is there with you. You may not be able to feel it. You may not be able to think it. You may not be able to sense it, but that doesn't mean it's not there. Just remind yourself how much God loves you. Tell yourself over and over and over again that God loves you. He chooses you. Now, the challenge is, as quickly as we're reminding ourselves of this truth, then something happens. Right? Satan says, no, he doesn't. He doesn't love you near as much as you think he does. And then he brings up evidence. Kevin, do you remember what you did last night? Do you remember what your attitude was? Do you remember how mean you were? Do you remember how you could have helped somebody but you didn't? Kevin, you've sinned. There's no way in God's green earth he can love you when you're walking around and you're doing wrong. Now, if we listen to him, we're going to go down. We're not going to recognize his love. We're not going to be able to understand it any longer. And that same thing happens to you, I'm sure. But even there, you need to realize that God is love. And his love is way bigger, way smarter than Satan trying to get you down. You've heard this saying before, I'm sure. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God loves me all the time. All the time, he loves me. You want to stay hungry for God? You want to have that desire and that passion? Just remember how much He loves you. Number two, second thing you can do, stop filling up on junk food. I have some junk food in my freezer, in my fridge, and in my pantry. Sometimes it still doesn't get it. Stop filling up on spiritual junk food. We are spiritual people. We're spiritual beings with a God-shaped hole in us that only God himself can fill. And will you try to fill your life with things like salary or status or success or passion or possessions, power, prestige, any of that? It's going to be unfulfilling to you. It's not going to work. Maybe sometimes you're not hungry for God because you're full of yourself or someone else or something else. When you're full of yourself or something else, you're obviously not going to have a hunger for God. Look at the writer of Proverbs said. Proverbs 15:14 says, "A wise person is hungry for truth while the fool feeds on trash." Maybe you need to take some trash out of your life. You know what happens if you leave the trash can unemptied in the kitchen and maybe you had to throw away a little bit of seafood stuff in there or some old ground beef and you hadn't taken it? It doesn't take long before what? Man, does it smell. It stinks. The Bible says a wise person is hungry for truth while the fool feeds on that trash. Did you ever order a nice meal? Actually, it happens in buffet lines, I guess, better. You start down here. Why do they put the salads at the beginning of the buffet? You go to a buffet not for salad, at least me. But it's there, and you figure, like, if you're going to get your money's worth, you got to get a little bit of everything. So you put salad on your plate, and you go down here, something else, and here. And the good stuff is way down there. And before you ever get there, you're already filled up. You need another plate. Don't fill up on the appetizers when the big meal, the good stuff, is worth waiting for. Stop feeding yourself spiritual and emotional junk food when the good stuff is what God wants to give you. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. The Lord says, "All who are thirsty, come to me and drink. And to those of you who don't have money to buy food, come and eat for free." Why do you spend your money on something that isn't real food and doesn't really satisfy you? Come to me and you'll eat what is good. Your soul will be happy, will enjoy the stuff that really satisfies. Did you ever play this game? What are you hungry for? Let's go out to eat. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Libby and I do this. Where do you want to go, baby? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Or I'm hungry. Where do you want to go? I don't know. I mean, in our country, there's more food places in Charleston that you could ever eat at. And we don't know where we want to go to eat. That ever happened to you? So let me ask you a question. What are you hungry for relative to God? Bible says here we need to hunger and thirst after God, to be right with God, to live a right life with God. And one way to do that is to quit filling up on the junk food. Now, there's probably some junk food on TV you need to cut off. I'm not saying throw your TV away, but there's probably some junk food you need to cut off. There's probably some things you listen to you need to cut off. There might be some junk food people you hang around. And now this is tough because I want to share God's love with everybody. But I want to make sure when I'm hanging, I'm not being influenced so I have a balance to take care of there, right? How do you stay spiritually hungry? Remind yourself God loves you. Stop filling up on the junk food. And number three, make knowing God your number one goal. Make knowing God your number one goal. This is how you maintain spiritual hunger. You make knowing God your number one goal in life. Not success, not happiness. Those are byproducts of knowing God. You seek God first. Now, some of you are probably on the mountaintop now, and that's great. I love folks on the mountaintop. I rejoice with them. Some of you are not on the mountaintop. Some of you may be struggling right now. Maybe even you're in a desert right now. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe in your marriage. Maybe it's just drying up and you feel like there's nothing you can do about it. Maybe it's your career. You want something different. This is not really what you wanted to do, and you don't know how to get a different job. Maybe it has to do with your finances. They feel like they're all drying up. What do you do when you're in the desert? Look what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. The thing that you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what God wants. Then all of these things you need will be given to you. Now, I realize some Bible verses, I believe the whole Bible, believe everything that's written there, but I don't always get it. I don't always experience it. I don't always feel it. Like this, I know people who are godly people, and they've lost their job, their family went down the tubes, and this is saying, hey, seek after God, he's going to give everything that you need. I just have to trust this as being true. Maybe it's because what I think God should give me isn't necessarily what I need at that point in time. Worst case scenario, I've got to obey the Bible. And actually, that's the best case scenario. And then I've got to trust him to fill the needs that I have. Sometimes he lets us stay down to teach us the hard lesson that we may not otherwise want to learn. Number four, make God your number one goal. Number four, you get into God's word every day. Get into God's word every day. Read it. Make it your soul food. It is food for your soul. The Bible calls itself bread. The word of God is milk. The word of God is meat. It's there for you. The word of God is said to be honey. 1 Peter 2:2. You must crave the pure milk of the word of the Bible so that you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out this nourishment. Cry out for this nourishment like a baby cries for milk. You ever hear a hungry baby cry? You know those cute little babies? Oh, they're so sweet, they're sweet. And they get a little hungry and wah! It's so hard sometimes to overlook something so easy, like just reading a part of the Bible. But there's no excuse. Absolutely no excuse. With all the electronics, all the technology we have now, you can listen anytime, anywhere. You can literally read on the computer. You know all this. There's no reason that we as believers should not be reading some of God's word every day. You say, Pastor, I'm just not a good reader. I fall asleep. I don't have a great attention span. Then do what you can. I'm going to do this one short chapter, or I'm going to listen to this one chapter. Listen, so many resources. So many resources. You want to grow with God? You want to stay hungry for God? Read the Word. Some people say, Kevin, I like doing that, but I get these Old Testament books sometimes and I don't understand what they're doing. Well, that's called studying the Word. Sometimes you got to go deep and figure all that stuff out. But at the very least, read. Well, what should I read? Start with Proverbs. Start with Psalms. Go to the New Testament and start with the Gospels. My favorite to start with is the Gospel of John. Start there. When you get done with that, come ask me again. I'll give you some more. We have a Bible reading page out there on the table. That it's a guide so you can literally read the Bible through in 1 year. If you haven't started yet, it's not too late. Just pick it up from here and go forward. All right? Get into God's Word every day. And then number five, keep good company. Appetite is influenced by association. For instance, you get a bunch of kids together and one kid says, I'm hungry. What do the other kids say? I'm hungry too. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And if I say to you, I'm really hungry, for a Cinnabon. Some of you want to leave the service right now and go get you one of them things. You know, I've never had one of those. Never had one of those. I've had a few at the same time. Appetite is influenced by association. So if you want to keep a spiritual appetite, you've got to have other people around you who are influential in that way. This is one of the reasons we have small groups. While we have people meeting in different places, age groups or different ladies, we have men's. You need to be a part of that so you can experience growing in God's word with other people. Proverbs 2 verse 20 says this, "Join the company of good men and women who will keep you on the path of righteousness." If you hang with the people all the time that want to talk about politics or things that they have, material possessions, that's fine. If you're building a relationship with somebody, that's fine. But you've got to have believers in your life, Christians in your life, that you can hang out with and have conversations about God and what's happening in your life and where God is in that. You want to be hungering and thirsting after God, righteousness, becoming more like God. Keep that spiritual hunger deep. As you do that, you will grow deeper. You want to go deeper with God. Good. He wants to go deeper with you. We need to use some of the principles we looked at today so that he will give us a hunger and a thirst to know him, to walk with him, to love him, to serve him. Then we will go deep. Pray with me, please. Jesus, thank you for giving us these truths, these beatitudes that didn't just mean something back in the day when you said them so long ago, but they mean something to us now. Jesus, help us to maintain a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for godly things, for a walk with you, a relationship with God, and an infilling of the Holy Spirit. But it means we'll need to follow these guidelines. And in doing so, we will walk deeper with you. We will serve for you. We will be filled by you. We will share you with others. Give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and take us deeper. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was flying in, man. So I tell you what, I'm excited about something that's going to happen next week, and Kevin and Jason and I are going to work on, but we were practicing it back in the fellowship hall. And something's going to happen next week. So get ready for that. And I know you had a great time in here. Don't forget, did you do announcements, Jason? I wasn't in here. Up here on the screen, I'm not sure if we're having baptism. Kevin, we have a baptism coming? Sure for that one.
We're out of place, John. Hold on.
All right. So don't forget, Carowinds coming up. Also, we also have the school supplies that we'll be doing very soon. You see the dates for Carowinds. And then, obviously, during this summer, lots of exciting things going on in our small groups as well. Okay? I think it's time to pray, isn't it? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this exciting song and the group that we have here today. We're excited about your word. Help us to be hungry and thirsty for your word and your righteousness. Thank you for the message today and the challenge that we have. And we pray it all now in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. Amen.